be your most artist self. Be your most musical self. I like to be my most violent self. That's how I express myself. I can't help it. I tried to, and I tried other things, and it doesn't work. That is my thing. I know I made a promise to myself a very long time ago that, like, the mat is going to be my life for as long as I can walk. It saved my life at some points.
You already know when something about to make a big impact. It's what we used to.
Wrestle. Yeah. Welcome to the table. Keep it locked in. Got some talent out this world about to drop in. And the story that we sharing about to shock them. And the level that I'm giving is a top 10. When you hear it's not a show and you get boxed in. Free to be authentic. Ain't nothing off limits. Paint the true picture, not somebody else's false image. Even when you low, it's what somebody else calls winning. TZ got the table set. Whether it's someone you know that's famous or ain't made it yet. Recognize the power, check the numbers on the data set. Trying to find somebody else that's better, well, let's make a bet. That's a flow that's broken down, I ain't even break a sweat. Welcome to the table. Welcome to the table. We just get it started, never done, never settled.
I like that thing. So, yeah. So, I do that in my head. Welcome, everybody. This is your boy, TZ Jones. TZ Marley, as they call me now, because, the hair of Bob Marley. Shout out to that movie. I got to go see that movie. But it is your man, TZ, in the building. I am once again in this wonderful, wonderful studio here. Shout out to my brother, Phil Burr, for the hookup and the connection. I'm feeling good. Life is good. I'm in a great space. If you guys have not, please subscribe to the channel here where you can get all the content, everything Monteezy, from all the music, podcasting, new video shorts, all new content coming soon. And also where you guys can follow me for everything I have going on. Please go to www.teezystable.com as well to follow up on everything that is happening. From all new tour dates that are coming soon. I have a lot of things on tour coming soon. Solo stuff with my brother Swerve, stuff with all podcasting, live events, everything that I have going on. Make sure you go to MonteezyTV@gmail.com for all bookings. My manager Marcel and Chris will be handling that if you guys want anything and any inquiries from me. But I will be remiss if I did not shout out my sponsors. Shout out to the No Gimmicks Podcast, my man out there in Texas. Shout out to Kelvin. You know what's all love, brother. Salute to you, man. Great production on the music anyway. Send me some beats, man. I need some beats. So please send me some beats. You have a great podcast going. Thank you for being a official sponsor of TZ's Table. And Downtime in the Ring. Shout out to you guys for the love. Man, you know what's all love with you guys or what you guys are doing. Big salute to you guys. You guys also have a great, great, great podcast going for what I believe is something that is very new out there in New Mexico. I want to give you guys a big shout out. Made the theme song for both of you guys' podcast. And I look forward to more work and more great things that we're doing in the future as the sponsors. And thank you guys once again for all the love. Subscribe to their channels. Show them love. They're really building something special. But something else is new here. A new beard line. If you guys can see this, if you guys can do your little close-ups on your iPhones and your Blackberries, if you still have Blackberries, this is Mad Cat Beard Care. These guys have given me my own official beard oil coming soon. This is actually the sample from the owner here, Mad Cat Beard Care on Instagram. This is the coconut flavor here. It has reading here with my old eyes here. This is has argan oil, vitamin E, you name it. Beeswax in it, shea butter. This is the coconut flavor. I put some on my face. My daughter loves it. She told me that if I'm going to put this on my face, I have to cut my beard. Last time you saw the episode, I had this big bushy beard. My daughter made me cut it because I love her. And my 8-year-old daughter said, put this on your face because you're going to have a new beard oil, daddy, and you need to look right. So this is absolutely amazing. I will be debuting my new one called The Titan coming probably within the next few episodes. They're still working on it. But this here is a sample of the owner's Mad Cat Beard Care on Instagram. Make sure you show them love. And thank you guys for teaming up with me, partnering with me as we make history as only we do at this time. Now that I'm done talking with all the infomercials, this wonderful, wonderful woman of mine, this wonderful friend of mine is not only ultra talented in all forms of what she does in the form of wrestling, martial arts, but she's also one of the best people that I've known and met in this line of work. If you know anything about the entertainment business, you meet like two good people per 10 years. So if you get somebody that ends up being a great friend that looks out for you, you know, she is phenomenal. Her family, they're wonderful people, nothing but love for all three of them and everything that they have going on. She was in the Pressure video right now with The Hustle on all platforms right now that you see, all streaming platforms. She pulled up for the music video. It has been great responses for everybody who's seen it. She came through in her first hip hop video, showed love, and thank you. She recently saw her as well on the Swerve City podcast with my brother Swerve. She was on there. Now she's here on my platform, known as TZ's Table. I would like to give a big shout out to my sister, Marina Shafir. How you doing?
Hey, hey, hey. I'm doing.
What's good with you?
That introduction. Woo.
You know, I try to give people their flowers,
two
man.
Two good people every 10 years. That's accurate.
Am I lying?
Nah, you're not lying.
I'm telling you, man. You know, in this line of work here, you know, that we are in the entertainment business, when you find good folks, you got to keep them to the chest because this is a very, very selfish and shark-infested game. And you kind of don't know who's your people today and who's your people tomorrow. So when you have good folks, you know, that pulls up, that never changes no matter how much success that they have, it really means a lot for people to come through and to depend on each other. You came through, you showed me love in the video, you just said, hey, I'll do it. We had a great experience. But I like to start TZ's Table with this one question that many people in our line of work don't get asked. How's life? How you doing?
Life is good. I'm chilling. I'm chilling and just taking care of myself and just always staying ready for whatever.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, man. You know, it's
being able to. I get to be prepared for stuff. I get to, you know, take care of myself, especially now. It's so wild. And it's so wild out in the world. And it's just, I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole. It's just, I'm very lucky and I'm very blessed and I'm not trying to take anything for granted.
Absolutely. You seem like a very grounded person. And I know that sometimes that could either come from experiences from how you were raised or just life experiences. Or sometimes, you know, whether you meet the right partner or just life, sometimes things just kind of change. What brought in your life of being so grounded? Because you seem like a very grounded person, emotionally very even keel. You know, you always have the same demeanor. Every time I meet you, never too high, never too low, just very, very even keel and cool. What brought that about yourself?
Well, to be frankly honest, it's because I'm a fucking crazy bitch. I have a really great support system, and you know, I make sure I make time to let my crazy out on a regular basis. And when I don't, I get a little funky, just like anybody else would. You know, like I tell Troy, I'm like, sometimes he just can't just settle, and so I'll tell him to just like go outside and get the screams out, man. Go howl at the moon. Like, you gotta get that energy out. Because if you don't, it's bottled up and then it can come out in all these, like, you know, interesting ways that people could perceive as negative and not grounded and not cool and not chill. And yeah, I just give myself that time to get crazy. So I appreciate you saying that, because like, I'm just like anybody watching this. I deal with my shit, but I make sure to deal with my shit.
And that's what it's all about. Because for me, my crazy is the music.
Yeah,
that's kind of like where I get that aggression, that other part of me out. Because mm-hmm. I'm normally very, very chill. I don't let much get to me. I don't have really a high emotional reaction to a lot because I try to be as even. I try to be as content and cool. But when I get in the, when I do the music, that's when it all comes out. Or when I'm performing music on stage, that's when the wild side comes out, you know. And I'm pretty sure in the wrestling ring, that's the same thing. And essentially your way, or even with your training, or however you get it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and that's being in the ring and training. I think, I'm pretty sure like Robert De Niro touched on it in that one video where he's like, no matter what happens, you have to always kind of like try to stay calm and be calm. And that's something my dad was really good at staying calm. And it kind of fucking pissed me off because I never saw him when he was like super excited about shit or like super sad about shit. He was just always calm and annoyed the shit out of me. I didn't understand it, but it's like, you know, you go through what he went through. I'm like, okay, I get it. But it's just being calm and being able to understand, like, this shit doesn't deserve my energy. Like, I want to maintain as much energy into my, you know, I don't know, saving it for the moment that I get to, like, let my crazies out. And whether it be in the ring or be in the gym, it's going to be one of the two. Because that's the promise that I made to myself, you know?
Absolutely.
I tell Troy, too, sometimes, like, when you're, like, frustrated and it's, like, I mean, he's a kid and he's growing and he doesn't know how to handle, like, being upset in the most optimal way, right? So, like, sometimes I'm, like, when I get pissed, I'll fucking just beeline it to the garage and I'll grab, like, the 14 or 15, I can't remember how, like, the slam ball, and I will slam that motherfucker up against the wall until I'm blown up, and then I come inside and he's just there looking at me like, the fuck was that, Mom? And I'm like, you know what? I just need you to see that, like, sometimes, like, there's nothing, not sometimes, there's nothing wrong to have that energy, and you can't think clearly and you can't think calmly. To go slam some shit. I didn't say that, but like, I was like, to go, like, go slam the ball as hard as you can. And if you feel like you can do it harder, keep doing it. Keep slamming that ball until you can't slam no more. And then think about it.
You know, it's funny because I always tell people this, and I think people will understand where we're coming from to sum that point up. People don't live life in the yin and yang of the human emotions, where I understand what you're saying about your dad, because you almost like, well, where's this other side? Like, we all have it as human beings. We all have a triggering point. It's just how we get it out. So we have to find a way to have that outlet to get it out. I found out, you know, even through music or however I get it out in a way, I find that it's okay to have that. It's okay to do that. Mm-hmm. It's okay to get those emotions out because, like you said, we have to get into complete detail, but the way the world's going right now and the way things are happening, it's just, we need this outlet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's, you know, be your most artist self. Be your most musical self. I like to be my most violent self. That's how I express myself. I can't help it. I tried to, and I tried other things, and it doesn't work. That is my thing. I know I made a promise to myself a very long time ago that, like, the mat is going to be my life for as long as I can walk. It saved my life at some points. Absolutely. Like, looking back. Like, being able to train and, like, get your emotions out, especially in a safe space, is, like, that's a luxury nowadays.
Absolutely.
That's the luxury. Like, that's what people, you know, will sacrifice time away from their loved ones, time away from their responsibilities in order to do this in the most optimal way, and respect, because it's important. The way you, you know, go through life, it's a reflection of that. And like, I'm not the best at it. I'm not saying that I've got it nailed down. Like, you know, we all have our challenges. We're all living life, man.
Speaking of challenges, have to bring this up because this was a phenomenal moment in the world of wrestling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on Teezy's table, a lot of people say, oh man, you know, bring up, you know, we don't speak about wrestling, but I have to bring this up because this was a phenomenal moment. Ring of Honor, yourself, and the wonderful Ronda Rousey, your sister. Your sister, you guys went, you guys killed it. You guys made history against Billy Starks and Athena. Tell me a little bit about this. How do you feel about it? I mean, to see to do work with your sister,
yeah,
to have that moment, because I know that meant a lot to you. Tell me a little bit about that experience and how she felt as well doing that.
Well, right from the jump, I never fucking thought it was ever going to happen, to be 100% honest with you.
Wow.
I thought that that ship had sailed and, you know, it just, it's always going to be a part of my identity in wrestling. And I'm so proud of that. Like that sisterhood and everything that sisterhood has encompassed. I get to have those memories for the rest of my life. And that is literally something that I, you know, being able to tag with her and being able to wrestle with her, I never thought that was going to happen. I just, you know, it just wasn't meant to be like that for me, especially with how things went down. And, you know, she called me out of the blue and was like, what you doing? And then we started talking and then we started just talking.
Putting two and two together, right?
That's what happens when you... Rhonda, I'm very lucky to have somebody in my life who very rarely makes any excuses. She doesn't make, if she wants to achieve some personal greatness, and this has nothing to do with like what people think, or this has nothing to do with like other people's anticipations, and you know, when she has like a personal legend that she's got to like live out, you know, it's so wonderful watching her work towards it. And I got to be a part of that. And like I said, I just never thought it would have ever happened, and it did. And I still buzz about it. Like I still buzz about all those moments, all of the little things, all of the bullshit leading up to that fucking moment. And just how well, like how much we gelled, and we were like a well-oiled machine, and that was our first time wrestling together. like we looked like a unit, and we didn't even have to try. Like we didn't even have to fucking try. Like one of my favorite moments was like when she's walking out. I think this actually happened on the Revolver show. On our
shout out to Sammy Callahan.
Yeah, Sammy, I know you you had a big fucking migraine the day after, and you're the man for helping put that together. But there was a moment like in our entrance where, you know, she was taking off her gi, or she was walking into the ring, and she just goes, Morena, and it was just such a like callback. It was just such a like callback to like all of our just camaraderie over the years, and it just everything, just, you know, everything you've done everything you've done in your life up until this point, you know, that it was like the Rolodex of all the fucking memories we had together, and then boom, like we're doing this together. It was fucking awesome.
You know, that was you know, not only was it phenomenal work that you got there, because I saw the Ring of Honor match, but just being able to team up with your best friend, and you know, it's almost like, okay, screw the politics, let's get on the phone and let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's all about. That's how family looks out for each other. Because I'm pretty sure out of everything she's accomplished, everything you've accomplished, and all the things you guys have done up to this point, all the years of the friendship, those two moments of Revolver and you doing that Ring of Honor, those moments of you being able to do that with your best friend will probably be your career highlight when you sit back and think about it.
I know.
Out of all the things you accomplish, you know, God willing, you're AEW Women's Champion someday, all the stuff that you do.
Oh, yeah.
You'll sit back and you'll say, you know what, I teamed up with my best friend and we made this happen. All politics and stuff aside, we did it.
Exactly. I literally got to do something I had put out of my brain. And, yeah, like the magic of pro wrestling, right? like
yeah.
the magic of stars aligning and timing, and you know, even Tony Khan, like after the match, just coming up to us, and he just walked up to me and was just smiling, and he just goes, "Well," and I just looked at him and I just go, "I never thought that was going to fucking happen." Like I just kept saying that over and over again. I was in disbelief. I was in literate, like, ooh, I'm sorry, just disbelief. Like, it was cool as shit. It was hectic and stressful and just wild day, you know? Like, but like I said, we got to let our crazy out and got to do it together.
That's what it's all about, man. Shout out to you guys for being able to make that happen, to create that legacy as friends and knowing how you guys got started in your journey.
Yeah.
To see where that happens, to be able to make history. You know, I'm pretty sure that's, like I said, that will always be a cloud nine moment in your life. That's something you'll be able to tell your son, and I'm pretty sure he understands it now, but just seeing it later as he becomes an adult, of understanding that, hey, you know what I mean? When you have family, you have friends, you have people that are with you, mm-hmm. don't let none of the business, none of this stuff get in between y'all. And it's tough in this game to kind of, because opportunities can spread friendships everywhere. Because one person gets into one thing, one person gets into the other thing, and everybody's all over the place.
Yeah.
But to keep that dynamic of a sisterhood, of family, to where she did that for you, and something that's probably, I'm pretty sure, was on both of y'all's bucket list that you never thought it would happen, but it did, is something that you can really, you know, not only brag about, but just have something that is in your spirit. Because a lot of times in this is what I learned about this, being in this entertainment business, is a lot of stuff takes away from your spirit.
Oh, 100%.
And because everything has become so business orientated, you become so goal orientated that sometimes your spirit is left empty. And this is something that's fulfilling for your spirit. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about win, lose, whatever. You just wanted to tag with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that fulfills your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that fills your cup with your spirit. So that's something you can always, you know, take in.
Oh, yeah.
Also, too, speaking of Ring of Honor as well, man, you know, recently, you know, not too long ago, we lost one of the Briscoes, lost Jay, you know, and I had to do my Rolodex on their history because I caught like the middle to the end of their run,
mm-hmm.
you know, before his passing. But, you know, I did a lot of the research of their earlier years and just seeing their impact that they had on wrestling. You know, shout out to Mark Man for holding it down. Shout out to the whole family. You guys are in, you know, my prayers and an absolute letter. Shout out to Jay, man. How have you been feeling? How's Roddy been feeling? Like, this is like, just for you personally, with the loss of him, how have you guys been able to recover, if you've been able to?
Shit, I think when you, like, I know when I actually have to, like, sit with it, it just sucks. Like, yeah. There's no recovery. You don't recover.
It's a scar.
I guess, like, I've had a very interesting relationship with grieving.
Wow.
Like, when my dad died, when my uncle died, like, when my grandparents died, like, I had a very disconnected relationship with grieving. And not until recently, like, when, you know, you have to share a room with everyone else too that is grieving. And I didn't know Jay like super close. I knew him because of Roddy.
Right.
You know, but like what I did know about him was that he was a present father. You know, he was a husband. He was a friend. He was a brother. And then like, you have to be connected to seeing what a special relationship he had with all these people. You have to. And when you do, it's so beautiful. And then you realize, oh, fuck, it's gone. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Because, like I said, I had a really, like, a disassociated, very Soviet Union relationship with grieving. And a lot less like spiritual, you know, and just the in these last like 3 to 5 years, just shit, fucking, this fraud is killing me. It's just, it, you don't get over it. You have to hug it. You can't get over, I can't get over my cat dying. Monkey was my dude. Like, but I have to hug those memories and I have to embrace all of them. And when Jay went, like, I didn't have many memories of him, but I knew Roddy did. And when I found out about him passing away, I was just about to land on the West Coast somewhere, shit, wherever we did that goddamn that show. And it was crazy. You know, Jeff Jones sent me a text. He's like, I've been trying to call Roddy, tell him to call me. And I just had like a bunch of text messages from Jeff. And I'm like, oh my God, is everything okay? And I wasn't even landed yet. And I was sitting in the middle seat, like in the back of the of a hot plane. And, you know, babies are crying and like I'm dealing with this and I'm trying to get Roddy to answer his phone. And, you know, he's trying to put Troy down and it's just, yeah. I'm sorry, like, just going back, it's the shock of it. Like, you just don't believe
it. And
like,
please speak on it. Please.
Yeah, no, it's just insane. You know, one moment he's there, one moment he's not. It's wild. It be like that.
It does. You know, first, once again, I send my condolences and me doing my history. One thing I learned about, you know, you make a great point. My granddad is the reason why I started making music. And when he passed, when I was in my early 20s, such a sudden way that he passed, he was the reason I started making music. He was the person that taught me everything, that put me into the music industry. He was the first, him and my dad, were the first men I looked up to. So, when he passed, I always get anger first when somebody passes. I go through very angry stages, mm-hmm. sometimes unhealthy, but it's a part of the grieving process. And I had to learn that. So when my mentor, my inspiration passed away, I went through a few years of just anger.
Oh, yeah.
I was just mad. I was short-fused. And it wasn't until I actually came to grips on how to live with the scar and understanding that when I went to therapy, that when you lose someone that you love or something that you love, anything in that way, you just have to learn how to live with the scar. And sometimes that scar will reopen and it will always be a wound. And once you can get to the point where you can kind of talk about it and kind of let your emotions come out of it, mm-hmm. you're in a better place with it, but you live with understanding that you'll never get over it. Mm-hmm. My great-grandmother, who passed during COVID time, she was the matriarch of our family. She was the rock that held everything together. She was in her mid-80s when she passed. She survived breast cancer twice and 2 strokes. Strong. Wow. People back born in 1930, I swear those people were built different.
They were.
Survivors. They're built they different.
Were. Built they different. They definitely were.
So when she passed, this was the first time, and it's the first time I'm saying this on air, and if I start crying, it's hard to talk about.
I appreciate you right now.
But it's just the first time that I actually had to see somebody slowly pass, and I saw the stages of them leaving. So she had the stroke and she survived the first one, but the second one took her pretty bad. Mm-hmm. She was in the hospital. First, we was in the hospital. Then we took her to a nursing home. And the stages of her leaving, we saw every step. And then she passed away a few years ago on Christmas. And we celebrated Christmas with her recently passing. So the last day we had, she passed away. And we celebrated in the house, and she was gone in her room. But just watching the steps of her fading away and watching how somebody leaves this earth, mm-hmm. she left this earth the most peaceful way she could, because it wasn't sudden. She got her chance to say goodbye. She got her chance to experience that. But this woman, not only raised me, but she's the reason we moved to Florida. Mm-hmm. She taught me how to ride a bike. She taught me how to be. She raised me. It was, my mom was 16 when she had me. Mm-hmm. So it was her, my grandmother, and she was my great-grandmother. Every day I came home from school, this was the house I went to. She raised me. When my mom was at work, I went to my great-grandmother's house. I grew up in her house. So to see her leave was tough. So to get to what you're saying, it's just, you learn to live with it. But you never will get over it.
No.
You never will get over it. And you it's something that you learn to live with. And two, what it teaches you is that you're immortal yourself. Mm-hmm. You realize that, well, damn, maybe one day this is going to be me. Not in a sense of what happens, but one day you're not going to be here. Mm-hmm. And you think about your kids. And you think about how you're going to be able to survive from it. Even, you know, and you know, Jay passed in such a horrific way that is shocking. Though shocking, the way they leave you in a shocking way, it's almost like your body goes through a shock. You're like, they was just here. You know what I mean? And something happens, and then they're not here no more. And you don't get time to process your emotions. No. So, you know, just having to live with it, and, you know, I said my blessings to the whole Briscoe family, to anybody who's ever lost anybody and had to live with it, whether it's a pet, a person, anything like that that means so, so dear to your heart, to lose anything. You know what I mean? I give my full condolences, because it's tough. I've been there. You obviously have been there. And, you know, the way the human life goes is we have to learn how to say goodbye. And a lot of times we're not prepared for it. There's no book on it. Mm-mm. There's no way to. So when you say that you're learning how to, you know, how to live with it and how to process that, I think that's, we're all going to leave this earth learning how to.
Yeah, we got to.
You know, because one day we're going to be the old person on our lawn, and it's only going to be us. We're going to be the oldest person in the family, Lord willing. And then we're going to have to learn how to say goodbye to a lot of people. And then we're going to be the old person when we're grandparents.
Yeah.
It's just a cycle of life. So
isn't it crazy when you realize that about, like, yourself? You're really a very small grain of salt. You're just like everybody. Like, everybody else is dealing with this too. You know, everybody else is dealing with the realization at some point in their life that it ain't about you, and it ain't about all of your bullshit. You know, so many other things are moving in life, and then they stop moving. You know, it's like, that is part of life. And it's a really, really special moment, I think, intellectually, like in your own private moments that you have with yourself. If you think about that, it's just, it was big for me. It was big for me because it made me decide to, you know, like I said earlier, like, that the only way I know how to say it is, like, to, like, hug the things that I grieve the most. Because that grieving is always going to happen, but it doesn't have to be like a taking on emotion, but an expression, another way to slam the fucking ball against the wall. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that's... It's funny because the more success, it's really, I have really have to say this, the more successful that I've gotten in what I've done musically, mm-hmm. or being around wrestling, making music for wrestlers, and you start seeing how many people say this until you get there. Like, the really thing that only matters is family. You get the money, you get the fame, you get all these perks, and the stuff is cool. But then when you go home, and I could be Antoine, and Montese does not exist, and then I'm with my kids, and we're going to Sky Zone, and we're on the bouncy houses, and I'm just watching my kids. My son's 12, my daughter's 8, and is watching them grow. I'm like, this is really what matters.
Yeah.
This is really what matters, is being here with my family, being with my grandma. My grandma, I got my grandma back into wrestling, so her watching wrestling, that's watching amazing. AEW. She comes to the shows, and my grandma's in her 70s, still moving around. Health is great. So to have those experiences means everything, yeah. You know? So
the fact that I was able to feel that pain, the fact that I was able to say, like, I've seen Mark and Jay wrestle so many times, and I remember the first time that I was able to do an indie show with them. I had just done Bloodsport the night before, and they were wrestling at GCW, and I took a $100 lift back out. Like, I was staying in Venice, California, and I took a $100 lift back out to wherever the fuck in downtown LA just to see them wrestle, because I just knew there was nothing like it. Like,
those guys are phenomenal.
They're just wired different, and I just appreciate that so much. And their entire family is fucking awesome, like, so welcoming, and just not like, that's it, just welcoming. Like, they see you as another person, and you know, yeah. I've never seen anybody own the ring like Jay has. Like, he fucking owned every centimeter of that motherfucker, and I'm talking about him like I know him. I don't know him. I just love watching him wrestle. And I love watching Mark wrestle. You don't see that type of relationship as a performance very often. And absolutely. I think that is probably one of the coolest fucking things ever. Like, look at the Young Bucks. You got brothers. You have brothers in there performing together. Like, that is fucking rad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a great thing, though. I think that even as a performer yourself, you found someone that you have a connection with the Briscoes. You found someone you have a connection with, as in the fans or music fans has with us in mm-hmm. what we do. It's funny how you find people you kind of have a connection with.
Yeah.
And people that you really connect with. And I want to ask you this, because it segues to another thing. How was it, and how is it now, that you're able to have such a strong connection and bond with your son and building that connection and watching him become a young man? And you know what's scary, because we're both parents? Mm-hmm. It's crazy, because you'll sit down, you'll be hustling, grinding, you'll go to work, mm-hmm. and, you know, you'll be grinding. Next thing you know, they're like 2 feet taller, getting hair on their legs.
Hungrier.
The food bill gets higher. The trash bag gets filled up faster.
The laundry
is like, you're like, yo, you was just in diapers. And now you're like, hey, what's up? What do you mean, what's up?
Fuck happened to the back of my throat, brother? What happened?
You was just playing with when you were just watching damn Elmo. And now you're like, hey, Dad, my son just recently told me he got a girlfriend. He's 12. I'm like, oh, my God. So, I had to take him outside and have the talk.
Oh, God.
Had to tell him to talk. I told him in a funny way, but we had to have the talk.
Birds and the bees.
And boy, did I not hold nothing back. So, how is that, having that connection with your son and watching him go through stages? How has that been for you, watching him get older? Has it been tough for you?
Yeah, it has its moments, and, you know, it was only last night that my threat to him was I was going to put him back right up there, because I was just, like, so sick of his shit. I'm like, you know what? That's it. Troy, you're done. I just went and I just started sitting on him. I'm like, I know that's messed up, but like, he was farting on me. He was punching me while I was in the kitchen. And it's all fun and games because, like, we have that very playful environment. And he knows, like, we started talking to him about having babies and stuff. So he just thinks it's funny. Like, it's just, it's our way of just loving each other. And, man, he's really been a blessing in everything. Like, Troy, I've had to, like, understand things differently. I've had to, like, slow things down.
Yep.
And I'm so grateful for that because, like, I didn't realize how fast other parts of my life were going. And, you know, towards the end of last year, I just was not in a good way. I just needed to, like, straighten my shit out. You know what I mean? Like, I just needed to straighten myself out. And Troy just, he's my son. I don't want him to be my emotional support person. He's not there to, like, be that for me. I have to be there for him for that. And that is that. We have to be reminded of that in very interesting ways, being parents constantly.
I'm telling you, as a friend, I'm telling you this now, as you get older, he's going to end up being that. I'm that for my mother now in the sense that it wasn't like that at first because she had to be the mom. I was a kid. Now that I have my own kids and my own experiences, it's funny because now that we text, she's asking me for advice.
Yeah.
She's asking me for her support system, whether relationships or my opinion on things. And it kind of changes as they get bigger because you're that for them at first. Then it switches.
That's the thing though, is we will always be that for him. We don't ever want him to feel like he can't come to us about stuff. Like, I talk to Roddy and him about stuff that goes on at work, things that I'm frustrated about. And, like, I let him know where my attention goes sometimes. Sometimes I get a little insecure, Troy. And sometimes I don't make the best decisions because I'm insecure. And then he'll ask, like, well, what do you mean? Like, what does insecure mean? And I go, well, do you know, like, when you're in jiu-jitsu and you want to do that throw, but you're not entirely sure you can do that throw on that one person, and you kind of second-guess yourself there for a second, that's called unsure and being insecure and, like, not having the confidence to speak up and answer a question, that's called insecure. There's different ways that life will show you that about yourself, but it's okay. It's just a moment. And I obviously don't tell him all the things, all the details of, like, the things that I'm going through, but I let him know what frustrates me about life, and I let him know about the things that I know I need to overcome, and I can't depend on anybody else overcoming it but me, but I will talk to him about it, and, you know, it's more of like a, I also want you to know that you can talk to me about things that you're frustrated with, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do because I believe in you being smart enough and bright enough and curious enough to figure things out yourself.
You make a great point, and I think now in 2024 and beyond, I think times have changed with us as parents.
Ugh.
What I mean by that is back in our days, like when you speak to your father and you said, you know, he's a good dad, but he didn't really express much. He was kind of even keel. Not a bad thing, because probably for his mental health back then, it was probably the best way he could handle things with everything he's gone through.
Different time, communism, all that shit.
Right. But now, I noticed that now we're kind of in an age where parents are more open with their kids now. Mm-hmm. We've seen the drawback effects. A lot of time has happened where we've seen the drawbacks of parents not being expressive with their kids, telling them they love them, and kids not feeling loved and what happens. Now, I noticed that with us as parents, we're more open. We're more expressive with our kids. We're more open to talking to them. The way you talk to your son, the same way I talk to my kids.
Yeah.
I sat down, I talked to him. I'm like, look, I'm your father. You know, I'm not your bro.
Yeah.
And I'm not that. But we can sit down. We can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to judge you. However you feel, get it off your chest. Because the one thing I don't want you to do, which I did when I was younger, I held a lot of stuff in.
Yeah.
In my teenage years and stuff. When I became older and I went through relationship issues and stuff, I started to learn how to express myself.
Yeah.
And it made things a whole lot easier. So you will always have an open door policy with your father, and I'm not going to judge you for it because I go through it too.
Yes.
Like I told my
son. That's a whole other perspective having a daughter.
So do you, okay, here's a question. Here's a funny question. In your house dynamic,
yeah,
is there a cool, like, good cop, bad cop type parenting? Is that, is like, are
who
you
doesn't have that?
Are dynamic? You the are you the fun parent?
I mean, if you've watched enough CSI, and like, I'm just saying, like, and that other show, why can't it? Law and Order. Oh my, thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Jeez. I've been hitting the head, folks. Blame it on some of that stuff sometimes. Or maybe I'm an idiot. Who knows? But yeah, Law and Order. You got to. Roddy sells everything. I sell not a fucking thing. I'm the bad guy. And I don't mind it because I'm his mom. I know it.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to get used to like being the friendly parent because... it's just not honest. And I said, towards the end of last year, it just wasn't a good way. And I just needed some more honesty. And like, I like honesty. I think it keeps things interesting. And I think, you get to see people in a realer way. And I liked seeing people own their truths about stuff. You know what I mean? We're here to like relate and connect and work as a team, essentially. I feel like that's honestly the role of humankind in general. But, you know, it just, yeah, sorry.
No, it's understanding the dynamics of parenting and learning your child, because it's adjusting with them because they're always changing daily.
Yeah.
There's stuff. It's funny because I get my daughter every other weekend, my kids. So one weekend she's a little girl, you know, she got a little purse and stuff, and you know, she's a girly girl and her Barbies and stuff. And then the next week she's telling me about Google and searching and iPads. I'm like, yo, this is just 2 weeks ago. You wasn't even into none of this. And I'm
so crazy how fast it changes.
It changes so fast. And then, you know, it's crazy because if you don't adjust, you're gonna get left behind. And a part of that development and growth is understanding, you know, is understanding them and being able to surround yourself kind of around what they're going through and not be the overbearing parent either. Kind of let them experience it. The hardest thing as a parent that I'm learning is letting go, because as a parent, we want to fix everything with them. But you start learning. My son's 12. I'm kind of like, I got to guide you, but I can't live for you now.
Yo, I'm telling you. We have to take Troy after jiu-jitsu, get him home, and getting him in the tub is like, it's like work. And like, all right, hop in the shower, let's go. And he's like, I don't wanna, and like, doesn't want to take his gi off, he doesn't want to take his rash guard off. And I'm like, Troy, you're gonna get ringworm, dude. You don't want to get ringworm. You don't want to get MRSA. You don't get none of that nasty skin stuff. And he like wants. I feel like he wants to call my bluff on it. Like he just wants to be like, what did you say I couldn't get? Let's see how fast I can get it.
Yeah.
And I'm just. It's come to the point where I literally just got to be like, I'm only gonna remind him to take a shower like 2 times. Like I know he's 6. But he's on a schedule, okay? Yeah, and if he wants to decide not to take a shower and be that stinky kid at school, I got to let him live his life.
Yeah, and you learn.
Trying to live his life.
Yeah, man. You know, one thing that my granddad told me, rest in peace, we spoke about earlier, he said, one thing you learn about growing up is learn how to put your hands up and saying, you know what, you got it.
Yeah.
I told you.
It ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it.
It ain't worth it.
Here's the consequences of what's going to happen. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you don't do this, This is what's going to happen. I'll give you two warnings.
Yep.
If you don't do this, okay, you're going to see.
Yep.
Don't come crying to me once it happens. Now, see, that's the thing that I learned. Like, some part of parenting, too, is letting your kids touch the hot iron. Because you try to, nope, move the iron. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. And sometimes in life, it's like, you know what, bro? There you go. Touch it. And see what happens, you know?
We're going to learn today.
You're going to learn today. And then you're like, oh, my finger's burnt. I told you.
That's how he is.
And, you know, he's a boy, too. So, you know, his it's inquisitive. It's, oh, man, becoming a young man, it's a transition. But then when you become an adult and then you realize you got all these bills to pay, you got to learn what taxes are. You learn how to deal with people. You got to work with people you don't like. You're like, man, I wish I was 8 again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
you know, Roddy's really good about that, though. Like, he'll get gift cards, and Troy will get gift cards for his birthday, like, to Target. He loves Target more than a Karen does. I swear to God. He does. I bet you he would smoke a Karen in knowing where the things are at your local Target. Like, he asks specifically for gift cards for Target, but Roddy is amazing. Roddy's the numbers guy of the two of us. I'm, you know, the reading and the writing and home ec. but they will go specifically get something. They will write down how much it is. And then they will write down how much the tax is. And then they'll do the math. And then it'll kind of come up to, like, what it would be. And they're like, all right, so this should leave you so-and-so dollars and this many cents. And every time it's, like, by the cent, like, Mom, I got this much money left on this gift card. I got this much money left on this gift card. Let's add them together. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead and do that.
That's not my strength.
Yeah. And then, like, we always take out money for taxes. Like, if he gets money for his birthday, we take, not we. This is not, has nothing to do with me. This is all Roddy. Roddy's like, all right, we're going to put this much in your savings. We're going to put this much, like, we're going to put that this other part in this thing. And then he just divides it all, and he, like, it's a process.
Wow. Shout out to
Roddy's an amazing dad. It's insane.
You know,
it's not insane. I shouldn't be surprised, but, like, he's always like, I'm so lucky. And I'm like, shut up. I'm the lucky one.
Shout out to my dog. I want to give a big shout out to my man, Roddy, who to this day, I always say this, who on the Swerve City podcast, what guest did you connect with personally the most? It has always been Roddy, because he started explaining his life story. And I didn't know when he was with Undisputed there, I didn't know much about him out of the three.
Yeah.
About his personal life. I knew a little bit about Bobby. I knew a little bit about Kyle. Mm-hmm. But about his personal life, about Roddy, I didn't know. But once we started talking,
yeah,
I was like, we here. Like, man, a shout out to him, man. And what and how great of a guy he is, because when the podcast was over, we was talking for a bit, just me and him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I really connect with you, dude. So every time I see him backstage at the AEW show or something, I always saw a side about and always talk to him and get 5 minutes with him. That is one of the best dudes I've met in the entertainment industry. You guys, both you guys. I love both you guys, because you guys are awesome people. And, you know, not only do I always root for y'all, but, you know, it's always good to see good people prosper. And when not only your match, but to see what he's doing now.
Oh, it's so awesome.
And him getting his moment in AEW and seeing what he's doing now, which is absolutely hilarious and phenomenal. And to see the big matches he has coming up. I'm extremely proud of him. And how's his mental health been? How's he been? How's Roddy been?
Roddy's thriving. Let's just put it there. Like, he's just able to be himself. And, you know, the scene has changed since, like, the last time. Like, I mean, obviously AEW isn't an indie scene, but he has done some indies as well. And, like, just the landscape has changed. And so he gets to remind himself a lot. Like, I just see he's reminding himself about a couple aspects of himself that maybe he might have forgotten a little bit. And he's also seeing how the landscape has changed, and he's seeing what he can connect with and what he can help grow. And, like, his mentality on wrestling is it's really impressive. Like, it's, I've never, he's just got this deep, deep love for professional wrestling. And like, that is like the mistress in our relationship. And, you know, she gets a lot of attention and I'm cool with that. It's weird. It's a very weird relationship because he's able to be himself in all these different creative ways. And people just want to know his perspective on stuff because he's got a very interesting life experience, you know? Yeah, and, when you look, that's the beauty behind his eyes is his life experience. Like, legit, it's really awesome.
That's great to hear. And, you know, it's good to see two people that kind of do the same thing get along. And, like, you know, some people sometimes think of someone totally different from them. But sometimes you don't have a lot in common in that way if you get someone totally different. But if you have someone that's in the same line of work, work at the same place.
We never thought we were going to do this together.
Wow.
This wasn't like a goal. Like, it just, at first, pro wrestling for me was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to learn something new. I haven't been doing this for like 10 plus years. I've been doing this for like 5, maybe 6 years now.
Right.
And like, when I came into wrestling was because of other people. And I just having an, really trying hard to keep an open mind when you're associated with the people that you are associated with is hard because you all see it like, you know, everybody sees it in their own way. And you got to find out how you see it and what you appreciate about it and how you want to do it. And I've realized that if that's what I want to surround myself with people who also want that from me. And I started to, and I started to make different decisions in my life. You know, I didn't start out professionally wrestling and being in love with it. I fell in love with it, doing it and learning it and understanding like where the magic is and like what dragon everyone is chasing. Because, you know, at first I thought it was something completely different and materialistic and very much I only had to do about money. And, you know, I'm not that kind of Jew. I'm the complete opposite when it comes to that. I really wanted to connect with it, but I needed to figure out how that was going to be for me. And I didn't want to do it the way, like, it's not that I didn't want to. The way that my friends that are doing it have connected to professional wrestling, I realize just isn't going to be the way that I do it. Maybe there's some similarities, but, like they don't have, I don't have their life experience, and they don't have mine. And that's okay.
Absolutely. And that's... It's very important. It's very important to have and being able to balance that out. I think life, like I said, like the thing about TZ's Table and kind of going to your point is everything's yin and yang that I try to bring here and understanding both sides and understanding that life's about balance.
Yeah.
And the more you can try to keep it balanced, even when things are going well or they're not, or your personal life, what's wrestling, what's your family, what's your three guys' dynamic, what's work, what's not. Once you learn how to balance all that out, life gets really easy then. But it's understanding what those balances are. Like you said, when you tell your son, I'm not having the greatest day, or when you and Roddy might have a stressful day at AEW on Wednesday, but he comes home, when he sees you guys, he might express it, and then he lets it go. You know what I mean? He
always gives himself a moment. That's the thing. Like if you get caught up in your, if you're walking into like a, you know, it's supposed to be a loving and nurturing and a caring environment and you're fucking wound up and you're tight, you need to give yourself a fucking moment. Cause you're going to be ruining that vibe. You know what I'm saying? That vibe is there for you. That vibe is for you. That's your watering hole. And you're about to fuck that shit up. You don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, like that energy, that go and take the ball and slam it against the wall and come in when you're, when you just want to be cared for and you want to be loved and you want to, you know, enjoy and you get to be a part of the family. Like, and I, that's something my family, like, just thank God my mom encouraged. She just didn't know how else to tell me to get it out than to just go to the gym.
Word.
But my dad, you know, yeah, my dad kind of in the same vein.
Absolutely. Let's get into some fun stuff really quick. Lord knows I needed this conversation just for me immensely. I needed this.
Well, I'm here for you, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I really needed this conversation. I'm in the process of rebuilding my personal life in many ways. So seeing people with families, you know.
That's brave.
I always said, man, Montese was great, but Antoine was in shambles. So I'm learning now how to, Antoine's finally found his peace again. So now I'm learning to build on that and listen to other people's life experiences really helps me. So we did a music video together.
Yeah, we did.
We did a music video together. Pressure on all platforms right now, guys. Make sure you guys go on all platforms, YouTube, streaming, wherever you get it. It is available right now. Shout out to The Hustle pulling up. Some people know him as Music Soul Child, his alter ego, R&B legend. He came through.
He did.
Made a phenomenal record. And, you know, we got co-signed by one of the biggest artists in the world that came and did that for us. For us too. Little old us too.
Yeah.
She's a star too. She's on television. I'm around. So, you know.
We're kind of the same.
In a way. So it was phenomenal. How was that experience doing that video? Your hip hop debut music video, us doing it. How'd you enjoy it?
I really much enjoyed it because I didn't know what to expect. You know, like, I didn't get any really, like, real details about anything. I just was like, hey, like, it was more of like, when I get there, I guess I'll just, it's kind of like one of those, you figure out what the vibe is and you try to catch it and then you try to keep it. And in the midst of all that, we kind of like made a little magic, I think. You know, I didn't have to sit down and talk to him about my life experiences. It was just like, yo, this is the hit. How do you find that vibe? This is how I find this is where I'm like really feeling it.
Yep. You and put then, your ideas in.
And then everybody, you got to be open-minded to being like, okay, this is where he's feeling it. Let me figure out why. And it's like just a rhythm, right?
Right.
But then it's so funny. Like, I've loved R&B, hip hop my entire life. Like, that's what I grew up listening to. Like, of course, classic, you know, like rock and roll and shit like that, punk and pop, that was always there, but like I really deeply like connected to hip hop and R&B, and I was a huge, like, I did think about what that process would be like making a music video, how it would be like in 2023 was crazy, you know, and it's not what I expected, and it's actually, it's being able to just vibe with someone, like, you know what I'm saying, like just being vulnerable enough to like read somebody's energy and movements and like really understanding what they appreciate about this song in this moment. It was cool. It was fucking cool.
Yeah, man. It was cool. We got through it quick and we all put our ideas together and it was it goes by fast. You overthink it when it's like, I still do these and I'm like, I won't do this, I won't do that. It's like, nah, I think the vibe is just going to be way easier. We shot a lot of content. Shout out to Siren for shooting that video and X for editing it. That's the guys who do our Swear City podcast editing. They shot it. So to see how the response has been, has been absolutely phenomenal of us doing that. And I don't know what video game the song's going to be on, but it will be on a video game this year. I don't know which one, but it could be on a soccer game coming out, the new FIFA coming out, the new basketball game coming out next year, the new football game. I don't know, but it will be on one of them. And, you know, to see the response from us doing that has been absolutely phenomenal. I'm trying to make something happen. I'm not putting a cow in the bag, but hopefully we can get that song performed at some arena football leagues, football games, stuff like that. And if there's anything in the area,
I'll do an open workout for that song. Just fucking toss motherfucker around.
That's what I'm saying. You already read my mind. We already there. You know what I mean? It would be phenomenal. Hustle said he will come down and perform it live, and then you do your thing, toss somebody around, and do your thing live while we're doing it. That would be absolutely phenomenal. It's already in the air. I already spoke to Hustle and his manager. They said they would do it. So we just want to make sure it's a big look where it happens, so that it works for everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And we would make that happen. So, quick things I want to ask you. I want to ask you some quick fire, rapid fire questions.
Fucking go, rapid fire. Let's do it.
It's one, we're going to choose one or the other. I'm going to come up with some random questions, and you pick which one. You can go into detail, or you just make it quick. I'm going to give you five quick fire questions.
It's this or that?
This or that.
It's cool because I do this shit while Troy's taking a poop.
Okay, so this will be these.
He's got a huge book, like it's like 3,000 this or that questions, and he loves that shit.
Gotcha. So you already prepared?
Yeah, let's go.
Tupac or Biggie?
Tupac.
I was always a Biggie guy, but as I got older and I started living life, I went Tupac. Tupac. Because I started understanding what he was. I was like, "Yo, this dude is talking to me right now."
I finally understand what you're saying.
Finally understand.
I mean, I only hope to understand what he's saying.
Okay, here's another one. Here's another question for you. This is one I'm not going to ask in a rapid fire. I'm just gonna ask you this one directly.
Okay, cool.
Your favorite rock band of all time.
I think Aerosmith.
You like them more than the Stones?
I just...
Because they always compare them.
Well, when I was like right around that age, like when they were poppy, like I fell in love. I loved Aerosmith.
Okay.
I did. There was romance and there was like... And I was just like a teenager with angst and... I just, like I said, like I just wanted to know what they were saying about. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I understand.
Yeah. And I was, you know, just, yeah, I don't know. They, Aerosmith, big time. And maybe if I think of another one, Aerosmith is the first one that comes to mind.
Okay.
Is that considered a rock band?
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's considered a rock band. Yeah, they're
rock and roll legends. Yeah. Absolutely. Rock and roll legends. Okay. If you're a professional boxer. Obviously, martial arts and boxing are parallel, but differences. Would you be more of a Muhammad Ali style or a Mike Tyson style?
Mike Tyson all day.
You're trying to knock him out. You're not wasting no time. No.
Have you ever heard Mike Tyson talk about boxing?
Yes. I've studied it. I use that in my music and my way, my philosophy and how I do things. Him and Kobe Bryant.
Like, it's just...
Rest in peace.
Their styles, like... To me, Mike Tyson fought because, like, he was trying to, like, cleanse something. Like, something was deeper than just him being a fucking killer. It was, like... And, you know, you see him live life and you see him kind of shed that skin and talk about processing and, like... He talks about like what he was thinking in his training and leading up to his fights and stuff. And it's so raw and a little scary, but like, I don't know. I very much relate with that. Muhammad Ali was just in a different, the reasons he fought had to be beyond him. And
he was fighting for more of a cause.
It was, yeah. You know, he was part of a movement. He was part of a fucking beautiful movement. And I think it elevated and helped bring boxing to like the stage that it is now, very much so, because it's in everything. Competition is in everything, and he's a legend.
Okay, so let me ask this. Maybe this won't be difficult for you, but I'm gonna paint the scenario. It's girls' night out. You and Rhonda. All right, and you have girls' night out. You guys are just the Roddy and Troy at the house. It's you and the girls. You need some time. Rhonda's in town. You two are going out. There's two, like the Apollo billboards, like, you know, at the movie theaters. Right. Like those kind of things you see. But you can only choose one. Now, based on your two choices, this is what I'm going to give you. To your left is, not at their age now, but prime Aerosmith. Prime. Mm-hmm. Young, prime Aerosmith. Front row tickets. You get to go backstage and meet them. These are your people.
Uh-huh.
Or you go to the right, and knowing how long these fights last, it's probably be a minute. Prime Mike Tyson fight, you and Ronda going. Oh, where you going?
Dude.
You going to Mike?
Dude.
You gonna yes. you gonna get front row ticket to see that rounds of a fight?
Listen. I've listened to some live performances of Aerosmith, and they're all kind of the same. I would very much pick a fucking Mike Tyson fight that could possibly end in a minute or less, just to say that I was fucking there, even if I was in the nosebleeds.
Yo, a friend of mine went to one of his fights in like 88, 89. This is like prime Mike. He said, we got there. We was at Madison Square Garden. We got there. We got popcorn. We sat down. He said, by the time we sat down, the fight was over.
Yeah.
And he's like, but it was the most entertaining 3 minutes of my life. Mm-hmm. Watching that. He's like, I will never have an experience like that. He's like, I've been to a bunch of boxing fights that has never been the same. The excitement that band brought, you know?
I got to meet him one time. It was really cool.
You did?
Yeah. I was at a UFC fight, and I was so shy. But I saw him, and he was, like, walking towards, like, where we were, because he was going to be sitting kind of near us. And Ronda, I've been to his gym in Catskill. I have been there. I know where he used to train. I took a lot of pride in the fact that we were both from New York, like upstate New York, and I was.
That's why we vibe for well. I'm from New York too. That's why we connect.
And like, you know, I admired Customato for a lot of his coaching.
Shout
like,
out to Cus.
Yeah, Cus just was a brilliant man. I just appreciated everything about that. But yeah, he walked by and like Ronda, God, I love her. This is my fucking. That's my dog. She just like was like, oh my God, Mike, this is my friend. This is my best friend, Marina. You guys are both from upstate New York. And I'm like, I've been to your gym. I've been to your old school gym. Like, that was the first thing I said to him. And as soon as I said that to him, like, because he's got a face, I think we both have, like, similar dispositions. Like, initially, like, if I don't know you and, like, somebody just comes up to me and, like, I kind of have this look of, like, yeah, I'm a slice you in half.
Right.
Or not. You let me know. It was like, it's one of those. Like, I just have people like to call it a resting bitch face. You know, I've worked my entire life to be able to have the privilege of having a resting bitch face. And I don't have to deal with a lot of approaches that normal people have to deal with.
That you don't have to, right.
Yeah. And maybe I need to not talk about that shit because people just think they can come up to me nowadays and I'm just...
If they see some of this footage.
No, well, this part of the footage is what they need to see is I'm not available. Don't talk to me unless it's like serious. Okay.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
But yeah, so that's how he looked at me. But then as soon as I said Catskill in upstate New York, he immediately, you know, Mike Tyson, like, smiling, like, just talking, gave me a hug. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is great. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Never in my life.
No.
Did I ever think that was gonna, I can say that, like, that is a memory of mine.
Absolutely. You know, in closing, I just want to say this. You know, it is the way this conversation has gone has been therapy for me, because I've gotten a chance to really open up about my personal life, my grandmother, my life, and things that I really don't get a chance to really open up much about being a professional, you know, public figure. And I thank you for giving me your time.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
ditto, man.
I thank you for.
I'm here for you.
Forgiving
like, and
me.
I appreciate you making me comfortable enough to like just talk.
And that's what this is for. You know what I mean? This is, like I said, this is a mental health, more spiritual awareness show. You know what I mean? Where we can kind of come.
Where you
we
don't
can,
talk about bullshit.
Don't talk about bullshit. I don't. You know, I don't mean
see?
Like I say
no,
this.
No. It's because it is bullshit. Is like,
yeah, like I like.
We gotta talk about bullshit.
Like
again.
Me as a musician, unless I'm like, promoter, I don't want to talk about rap all day. It's the same thing with you. I'm pretty sure in your line of work, you want to be able to open up about life, have different things, talk about who you are as a person, and that's what it's all about. So what I normally do on TZ's Table for all people that sit on the couch, Phil, you hear me? Which camera should she look at? I don't know why I didn't ask you.
This one?
One in the middle. Okay. Thank you, good
right
sir.
At you, buddy.
So, this segment here, what I do is I ask the person, I say, hey, any motivational words you want to give to the people, whether it's a young Marina watching you, a young lady, anybody that's watching you, anything motivating that you want to tell them about any goals or anything they want to achieve in life. If you want to look in the camera, anything you want to say, you can say it as short as long as you want to say it. But anything motivational to the camera for anybody that is inspiring to do what you do or find you as an inspiration. Is there anything you could tell the people?
Be a fucking problem. Be a fucking problem in life. And what that means for me is hanging on to my honesty and allowing myself to fail, because I have belief in learning from my mistakes and making better decisions. And you don't need anybody to tell you that you can make good decisions in your life. You don't. You really don't. And if you're feeling down, give yourself a moment. Fix your shit up, handle your business, and go on accordingly. That's literally it. Be a fucking problem. People don't do that. People get swept up, carried away about with things that really don't involve them and really isn't any of their business. And that's just kind of like the world we live in now. Be a fucking problem. Sorry for swearing.
It is all good. My friend, you know, you're a blessing. It is an honor to know you, to know Roddy, your wonderful family. Shout out to Rhonda. Rest in peace to Jay. And, you know, everybody we've lost. And this was a very much needed episode for me spiritually that I needed.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, Queen, I thank you. You're always welcome here.
Oh, you're the man.
You know what I mean?
Well, now that I know you're right down the street from my gym, Fusion XL, where are you at? Sorry.
Absolutely. I will definitely have you back. I would love to have you back in the future. And we could talk about some otherworldly stuff that we could discuss. But thank you, guys. Episode 4 of TZ's Table. This is my great friend, Marina Shafir. Make sure you check out that pressure video. Matter of fact, Phil, what we're going to do is we're going to play that video here at the end of this podcast. Make sure you guys, once again, go to tzstable.com. Hit me up for all important stuff, please. I get a lot of weird messages. Don't. For business-orientated stuff, please. And make sure you subscribe to this YouTube channel. Click like. Click subscribe. Please comment. Add to your playlist. When this episode comes out, show love. This is what it's all about. I'm trying to bring something new to the game of wrestling entertainment. More mental health, more spiritual stuff than the normal stuff that my wonderful guests here get asked all the time. That's why they love to come on this couch. Because they get to talk about their life and be human beings, which I try to bring to this platform. This is TZ's Table. And once again, fans, like I always say, put up two fingers. Peace and love, everybody. Take care of yourself, all right? Salute.
Bye. Don't you want to sound like
no, I don't see no competitors. You shouldn't step in the ring with the predators. Your iced tea sweet, but still don't measure up. Y'all fall, they time I turn the pressure. Turn the pressure up, you don't want pressure. Turn the pressure up, you don't want pressure. No, no, I don't see no competitors. You shouldn't step in the ring with the predators. Try me, I might just choose violence. Call the ambulance, better hit the sirens. I got time today, we in the lion's cage. I'm walking with the giants, the tyrants. Got the whole game in the hole, don't choke. Must be asthmatic, cause you don't want smoke. I bought a life jacket, heavyweights don't float. Ay, where they go? It must have went ghost, cause no, no, I don't see no competitors. You shouldn't step in the ring with the predators. Your iced tea sweet, but still don't measure up. Y'all fold eight. Time I turn the pressure up, you don't want pressure. Turn the pressure up, you don't want pressure. No, no, I don't see no competitors. You shouldn't step in the ring with the predators.
You don't want no pressure with me and my crew. Turning up with the grind, believing the two. Stay on my grizzly, the deck is low hand but no lens. We play the tip that's given to us, we out the city. You don't want my dogs, you don't want my goons. You don't want us to air out and get your living room. You ain't about the pressure, you ain't about the streets. Settle the convo when it comes to the beef. Wrestle music, wrestle music.
No, no, I don't see no competitors. You shouldn't step in the ring with the predators. Your iced tea sweet, but still don't measure up. Y'all fold eight time I turn the pressure up. Turn the pressure up, you don't want pressure. Turn the pressure up, you don't want pressure. No, no, I don't see no competitors. You shouldn't step in the ring with the predators.
We hustle from the start and hustle to the end. Making moves, plenty people will fall out of defense. Once again, I'm the leader of music, now is within. Who's the person that will bring you up, that won't depend? My legacy on the move, I'm better than who? Killing independently, tremendous, my legend is true. I am Teezy, the trendsetter, the man for the pleasure. Undefeated under pressure. Let's get it, let's get it.
No, no,
let's get it.
I don't see no competitors. You shouldn't step in the ring with the predators. Your iced tea sweet, but still don't measure up. Y'all fold eight time I turn the pressure up. Turn the pressure up, you don't want pressure. Turn the pressure up, you don't want pressure. No, no, I don't see no competitors. You shouldn't step in the ring with the predators.